There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Noise, the podcast series from Peer Week. I'm Frankie Oliver, your host and founder of New Society, and today I'm joined by Peer Week UK editor John Harrington. Hi, John.
Hi, Frankie.
And also with us today is Esther Carter, media specialist partner at Moore Kingston Smith. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Frankie. Hi, John.
Thank you for joining us. So Esther has joined us this week to discuss the latest findings from the Moore Kingston Smith annual survey of media agency performance that was recently released, I think it was at the end of the year. So Esther, I mean, I know this report has been going on for a number of years, but it'd be really good first off to understand how you actually put it together and what is the report actually based on in terms of data?
Yeah, I think it's been going for nearly sort of 30 odd years now.
Wow.
And what we do is we look at the filed accounts at Companies House. We look at the accounts that have been filed and we look at things like profitability, turnover, employee numbers, staff numbers, and then put together a whole series of KPIs across the whole of the Marcoms industry, which PR is one of those subsectors. So we look at lots of different Marcoms disciplines and then do a lot of analysis to sort of compare them to each other and look at the historic trends.
It's the top 40 agencies within the UK, because those are the ones that are obviously reporting with full company accounts at Companies House. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the top 40. So ever, if you know, if your income makes it into the top 40, you're in. And if it doesn't, you're not. and then the basket might vary a little bit from year to year as well.
Yeah, of course. So next obvious question from your investigation via this report into PR agencies, what are the most important findings for our sector, would you say?
Yeah, sure. I think it's worth just quickly clarifying the year ends that were included in that survey. So the survey was published the back end of last year, and it mostly covered PR agencies' accounts for the year ended December 2022. And the margins were down compared to the previous year. So in 2021 year ends, they're reporting an average of nearly 17% margin, and that had reduced to 16%. And also the growth was very, very low. I mean, I think they were reporting something like sort of 10% growth, but actually, of course, once you strip inflation out of that and look at the real growth, you get down to something more like 1%. And actually, you know, that wasn't too dissimilar from lots of the other marketing services disciplines within the survey. They also had quite low levels of real growth as well. And some actually went backwards in real terms a little bit. But I mean, you know, whilst that's a decrease in margin of sort of a percentage point, actually, if you put it in context and compare that to all of the other sectors included in the survey, actually it's still the second highest margin achiever, second to media buyers. And actually that tends to be the case most years. Actually, PR margins tend to hold up very well against the rest of the sectors.
And overall, I mean, were you surprised about the findings? I mean, it's obviously, you know, a shocker of a year, massive cost of living crisis, you know, real shocks to the financial system along the way, obviously very big macroeconomic geopolitical issues going on. So I don't think we could be surprised by those results, really, do you think?
I think that's right. I don't think we were overly surprised. I mean, the previous year's results, which was 2021, actually was exceptionally high. And in fact, if I look back over the last sort of, you know, just 20 odd years of the survey, that 16.9 was the highest margin ever for PR agencies. So I think it was exceptionally high because, of course, that was benefiting from all of the sort of COVID savings in premises, travel, entertaining, training, etc. I think that margin was higher than one might have otherwise expected. So there's a bit of a correction coming in. So not at all surprised that it came down. I mean, again, in terms of the low growth, that wasn't surprising either. In the previous year, had a real growth of about 10%. But, you know, that was a post-COVID bounce because it'd gone down in 2020. And as we know, 2022, you know, was a tough year with all of the challenges that you just outlined. So, not surprising, unfortunately.
How do you think things have changed since then? Obviously, a lot of people saying 2023 was very tough in terms of client budgets. You know, a cost of living crisis hasn't ended, although inflation rates have changed. How would you sort of summarise, I guess, how the sort of biggest changes in 2023 and beyond, of course?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, unfortunately, the trend of margins reducing isn't going to have ended once we've collated all the 2023 data. It was a challenging year, so I do think that margins will have come down. We do another little survey to supplement the main one that looks at the company's house filed figures, where we ask agencies how they think the current year has been and what they think the future holds. And that cuts across the whole of the Marcoms industry. And we don't break it down by sector. But I think, you know, the sentiment there is going to be fairly reflective of what's happening in the PR industry towards the back end of 2023 when we asked this. So, of course, it should be fairly accurate because most of the year had gone. They thought that actually there would be an average margin across all the Marcoms disciplines of about just over 12% for 2023. Now, PR tends to run a good couple of percentage points ahead of the average. Like I say, it tends to be one of the highest margin achievers. So even if, you know, if you add a couple of percentage points onto that, you know, you might get a 15% margin maybe returned for 2023, but continuing that decline from 2021. And again, people were predicting fairly low growth for 2023 as well, which isn't any surprise at all. All my clients are talking to me about the fact their clients are putting projects on hold, or people are winning clients and the spend actually isn't happening until quite a few months after it was meant to be. So I think, yeah, there's been a lot of uncertainty in 2023. So I'm not sure the picture's going to get any better when we look at the filed results for that, unfortunately.
So what margins do you think PR agencies should be hitting, and do you think there needs to be adjustment around margins and margin holidays and so forth to protect the long-term position of the business during these quite challenging times?
Yeah, I mean, we would say agencies, consultancies should be targeting 15% as a minimum. And if you're sort of have got a really strong USP and you're operating at the more strategic consultative end, then you should be aiming to reach margins of 20%. Now, that might look like pious hope in the context of the averages, but of course, an average is an average. There's 40 different agencies in there. And if you break it down, over a third were achieving 20% margin or more, and a quarter were achieving, further quarter achieving 15% or more. So it is totally doable. I mean, the one sort of thing I always harp on about and tell agencies to keep an eye on is their staff cost ratio. You know, if you can keep your staff cost ratio in check, if you can keep that to within 60%, so don't spend more than 60% of your fee income on people costs, then really, you know, healthy margins should flow from that.
Do you think that 20% margin is really a healthy marker for the industry? Because on the flip side, we have so many stories of burnout, mental health issues, long hours, et cetera, et cetera. And I just, this arbitrary number of 20%, and having been inside independent businesses, VC-owned businesses, PLC-owned businesses, I do know the cost of running a 20% margin business when it comes to its impact on people.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is realistic because, like I said, quite a few agencies, you know, a third or so are achieving it. But I don't think it's easy, but I think it depends what you're offering, your USP is, and it's about trying to work smarter rather than harder, isn't it? I think there are a lot of agencies that think running faster, working harder, going faster on the hamster wheel will be what delivers those higher margins, but actually that doesn't tend to be the case. I mean, we did a survey called Survivor to Thriver, a number, it's getting a bit rusty now, it's a number of years ago, but I don't think the themes from it would have particularly changed. And actually, you know, those agencies we spoke to were ones that had gone from very poor margin achievement to much higher sort of, you know, 20 plus margin achievement. And, you know, and all of them had taken quite brave, bold decisions within their journey within the agency to get to those margins. You know, one of the big ones was resigning unprofitable clients. We all know that lots of agencies have one or two clients that dominate, that you're terrified of losing because they pay you so many staff bills. And every time you're having a conversation with procurement, you get beaten down on it because, you know, you don't want to rock the boat. But actually, sometimes, you know, the braver decision is to just resign those sort of clients and almost right size, start again and think about, right, what are we really good at? What is the work we want to do? What type of clients do we want to do that for? What sectors do we want to work for? And make sure that you pivot and reposition yourselves to get the best out of your skills and the best out of whatever your particular USP is. So I think, you know, we can all do things around the edges, like monitor staff cost ratios. And these are hygiene things, right? You know, we should be measuring productivity. We should be measuring over servicing. We should be measuring utilization rates. All of these good things we definitely should be doing, feeding into the monthly management accounts and monitoring them. But actually, if our margins are always low, I think it's more of a fundamental rethink as to what the business is doing and how it's doing it. Not that I'm saying doing that is easy, because brave decisions are difficult to make. And sometimes that can come with senior staff changes as well. Quite a few people cited that actually what they'd had to do was bring in, or just maybe change the mix of the senior leadership team, just to bring in some fresh thinking and some, you know, an extra pair of eyes, really.
But where has this 20% come from? How has it become the marker? What is it based on?
I mean, it's our marker based on the fact that it is achievable. The target should never be the average, and it's not the average, it's higher than the average. And it's what a sensible proportion of agencies can achieve. I mean, if we were setting a margin at 35% target and actually only one agency a year ever reached it, I think that would be unrealistic. But it's set at a level that we know is achievable and is sustainable for a number of agencies.
You know, we often hear in this industry that consumer PR is kind of less profitable, lower margins in that, and, you know, corporate comms and financial comms and other areas are sort of higher margin. Have you got any sort of thoughts on that side of things? I mean, obviously, consumer agencies are going to continue to exist and a lot of them are going to do very well. But at the same time, quite a lot of them have been sort of diversifying outside of pure consumer comms, if you like, and also doing more things like content creation that maybe PR a few years ago traditionally didn't do as much of. Do you have any sort of particular thoughts for the kind of consumer agency community when it comes to things like margins?
Yeah, I mean you're right. I mean, our survey, I mean, we don't tend to drill down particularly by sector, but sort of anecdotally when we've looked, you're right, it does tend to be the corporate and the M&A ones particularly that do create high margins, and healthcare as well. And consumer PR does tend to be a little bit lower down the pecking order. I mean, I wonder whether it's because, you know, if you're in sort of big sort of corporate M&A consultancy, you're higher up the food chain, you've got access to more senior people at board level, therefore you're seen as more of a partner, you're involved in more strategically led discussions, and therefore you're able to more easily value price than just get beaten down on sort of price per hour. And I think perhaps consumer PR maybe doesn't sit quite as high up that food chain as some other areas of PR.
And so when it comes to actually managing the top and the bottom line versus, you know, day-to-day costs and the ability to raise client fees, where are we, do we think? It seems that it is increasingly harder to actually budge on fees unless you are pitching at that very higher level of senior consultancy. And we also know that there are rising costs for agencies. And obviously that was very much felt as everybody kind of came back from COVID. What's the picture on that right now, would you say?
Yeah, I think, look, there are problems at both ends, at the income coming in and the costs that agencies are incurring. I mean, certainly, you know, getting clients to budge on fees is not an easy thing. You know, in our sort of little survey that we did the back end of last year, you know, we asked agencies about whether they were going to be increasing their charge-out rates above or on inflation targets, and what sort of conversations they were having with clients about pressure to hold their rates. And over 50% of agencies were under pressure from clients to hold or reduce their rates, and only a third were planning on increasing them by inflation or more above inflation. So there are definitely pressures there. But again, I think it comes down to the strength of the relationship and whether you're in that partnership position or whether your service has become more commoditized, because the more senior relationships you've got, the more strategically led your advice is, the better bargaining power you're going to have with procurement to start with. And I also think that agencies are a little bit shy in coming, you know, backward and coming forward with asking or holding firm on rate rises as well. And maybe that's easy for me to say if I'm not having those conversations, but I think they're not always well equipped. Perhaps they're just not well equipped with negotiation skills. Perhaps it's two junior people having those conversations, perhaps unrealistic with the fact that actually procurement are going to be expecting you to ask for rate rises, because that's just the way the world works at the minute. And, you know, they know that your staff costs are going up. So again, it comes down to bravery, doesn't it? If there's that fear factor of rocking the boat, losing the client, because you know that maybe you haven't performed as well as you'd have liked, or you know that they're thinking of putting it out for tender or whatever the reason is, it's easy to be on the slightly on the back foot and, you know, accept the pressures that procurement are putting on you rather than holding firm.
I think it's one of the skill sets that agencies have always really struggled with, haven't they? If you look in advertising, there's very much a kind of split between kind of client service and creative and planning and financials. And, you know, PR teams are expected to do it all. And actually, they tend to muddy the waters of trying to manage a good relationship whilst also negotiating on fees. And therefore, actually, a lot of those day-to-day client service people don't have those negotiation skills. And then there's a question mark around whether they should in the first place. And actually, there needs to be a different role with the finance team and so forth around how you manage the financial side of the relationship. So I think that's something that PR agencies have always really struggled with, haven't they?
I would 100% agree with that. And I think design agencies suffer from a very similar lack of training or skill set or putting the right people in to those conversations. On the flip side, if you look at media buyers, for example, they're very good at those conversations. They're sort of just a slightly different beast. So yeah, absolutely. Training around negotiation and making sure the right people are in those conversations, I think, would definitely help. It's not going to solve all the problems, but, you know, it's all marginal increases, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And now a quick break for a message from our sponsors.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So what other things, Esther, have agency bosses been saying? What sort of keeps them up at night at the moment, would you say, from your conversations?
Yeah, I think previously, you know, if we were talking about sort of beginning, middle of last year, it was still very much about lack of talent and staff retention, getting the right people being expensive. And I'm not saying that completely gone away, but I think my clients are talking a little bit more now about retaining the clients they've got, generating new business, and also maintaining profit. You know, it hasn't always been on the radar. Of course, it should always be on there. But I think because of the margin squeeze and the cost of living crisis, they're a little bit more focused now on, you know, how they get their margins and profitability up, which is obviously, from my point of view, a very good thing.
And it's interesting, though, isn't it, that that is now the conversation, because it's so cyclical, isn't it, within these sort of financial ups and downs, that the things that keep them awake at night, you know, oscillate between whether you're retaining the clients or whether you're retaining the staff. How do we break that cycle, do you think? It just feels so short term, like having been in the industry for 25 years, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Everything goes down and then we end up with the same problems and then the market returns and then we return to suddenly we've got a talent crisis. And I do think the pressure of the margin and the inability to sort of shift around that margin level in difficult financial times, especially if I'm thinking about those people who are, you know, board directors in PLC owned businesses who are just on that never-ending pressure to deliver that margin, regardless of what's going on in the world, you know, how do we end this? And then we'll be in a, I don't know, John and I'll be talking again about the fact that suddenly senior account execs are really expensive and how on earth did that happen? You know, it's the same story, isn't it? Time and time again.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult cycle to break, and you're absolutely right. Different challenges and priorities, you see them go from number one down to number 10 and then sort of make their way back up again. And it's rare that anything brand new tends to come into those key challenge sort of lead tables when you do them. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't think there's an easy answer, because, you know, the whole of the marcoms industry, not just PR, is just so open to riding the waves of economic prosperity. And unfortunately, I'm not sure it's easy to get away from that. I think what you've got to make sure is that once things do start to dip and you do see the financial challenges coming down the road, that you act really, really quickly and don't sit on your laurels. And actually, I think that's by and large what, you know, the PR industry has done over the last few sort of economic rounds of challenges that we've had, because you don't see wholesale that many agencies going bust. You know, actually, I think agencies are a lot more financially grown up now than they were, say, 10 years ago. They've got all of their KPIs and their financials sort of sorted. They monitor them a lot more closely, and they are able to make those really quick decisions to right size, to fit, to whatever challenges the economic situation is throwing them. So, you know, I think it's always going to circle round a bit, but by and large, I don't think that the marcoms industry or the PR industry does a terribly bad job of reacting quickly to the challenges.
So that's interesting when you're saying sitting on your laurels. I mean, if are you sort of suggesting, therefore, thinking about an agency owner can see financial difficulties ahead, would you say cut costs fast, manage your staffing base, cut your staffing base? Or on the flip side, and this is the long conversation that we had with people like Alison Clark just over a year ago, maintain your very good staffing base, because that also protects your long-term stability with your clients, but consider dropping your margins for the long-term health of the business. What would Moore Kingston Smith's position be on that decision-making?
Yeah, I think it varies from agency to agency. If you've got an agency that has always ripped all of its cash and profits out every year, then it doesn't have the luxury of making those longer term decisions. It will have to be short term reactionary. It will have to cut its cloth quickly and make redundancies. And you're right, that's not always the best thing for the long term, because you lose good people. It sets off a chain. It makes everyone nervous. And then even if you've, you know, made your less valued people redundant, some of your better people who you wish to keep might go because they get nervous. So that isn't necessarily the right thing to do. Those agencies who have kept enough sort of cash and net current assets on the balance sheet, and I always used to recommend you keep about 3 months worth of overheads on the balance sheet. Actually now, given that we know how quickly the tide can turn, I think 6 months might be a little bit more comfortable. And then absolutely, you would have the luxury of waiting a little bit to see how things are going to play out and making sure that you're not in this cycle of, you know, costly redundancies and then costly recruitment, because obviously recruiting people is an expensive game. So I think some people have the luxury of doing that, others just wouldn't. There are many that wouldn't, quite frankly.
So therefore, having a good enough cash reserves and the ability to dip into those cash reserves to protect the base of the business is better than protecting the margin of the business.
Yeah, I think the overriding thing is what you don't want to do is start taking on unprofitable work. Yeah, you might accept that, you know, you're a little bit smaller, your income isn't quite, you know, covering your fixed premises costs or whatever it might be as you want. But in terms of actually taking on work that is unprofitable or low margin, I don't think that is a game that anyone should get into, because I think it's a very difficult one to climb back out of, particularly with the clients that you've won at those low margins. You're never going to get them back up to the right margin. So if that was your sort of strategy, I would say that is not good, and it would be better actually to right size than do that. So I think it's fair enough to sort of accept that all of your overheads might not be covered by as much revenue as you would like, but you still need to make sure you're taking on work that is fundamentally good quality work and is profitable work and plays to your strengths and your USP.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really great advice. Thank you. Going on to a slightly different topic, how do you think issues like margin and profitability, as we've been discussing, affect the sort of PR mergers and acquisitions market? Do buyers still see agencies as a good investment? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, long gone are the days where buyers are just buying people for bulk. Really, it's all about strategic acquisitions now, filling a hole that a buyer doesn't have. And there are plenty of well-funded buyers out there that are looking for those sort of strategic acquisitions. They're looking for specific capabilities that they don't have, and particularly being provided by those agencies that are offering the more sort of highly consultative or strategic end of PR, which tends to come with the higher margins. So sort of win-win for everybody. So yeah, I mean, there's always going to be agencies out there, consultancies out there that are rising above the others and still delivering, still growing, still delivering good margins, and they are still going to be attractive acquisitions.
So then, looking forward to what's ahead, still interesting times ahead of us, but what are your predictions ahead for the industry for margins and growth in 2024?
Yeah, so as I said, at the end of 2023, I think margins will have continued to come down a little bit. A lot of my clients are sort of in a place now where they're sort of saying that their clients are starting maybe to sort of let go of the pause on the budgets. Things are moving, things are a bit more fluid, there's a bit more pitching going on. So I think income is going to be a bit more positive. Income growth is going to be a bit more positive in 2024 than it was in 23. Obviously 23, it was pretty much zero. It was 1% real growth. I think it will be better in 2024, absent of any other big macroeconomic challenge presenting itself that we're not expecting. That was one of the questions we asked again in our little sort of outlook survey. We asked people when they thought that sort of client spend was going to return to normal, basically. And just over half thought that it would return to normal in either sort of Q1 or Q2 this year. So I've got my fingers crossed too that they're all right, because we really do need client spend to return to normal so that we can get some growth back into the industry and start nudging those margins upwards. But my prediction would be that margins will be better in 2024 than in 2023, because the growth will be better in income.
And really, because also inflation hopefully will be coming, it's still quite high, but hopefully will be coming down.
Yeah, I mean, it's come down quite a lot. So I think as long as it stabilises and continues to sort of get back down to Rishi's 2%, and like I say, absent of some other disaster happening, then I feel 2024 should be, I mean, I don't think it could feel too much more difficult than 2023 felt for agencies, to be honest. So 2024, hopefully back on the upward trajectory.
And can you see the future of the elections and where we are with UK PLC having an impact at all? Or do you think it's largely very much being driven by inflation and where we are with the economy on a very sort of domestic level?
Yeah, I think it will be largely driven by the way that the economy continues to recover or not, as long as it continues to recover, and that ought to be possible under either outcome of the election, then that's what should give clients the confidence to release those budgets and go ahead with that project spend that they've been talking about. And that's what will drive the growth in the industry. So, yeah, I think a lot of it is to do with stability, and people will be more confident in a stable environment.
Yeah, which potentially will build us up to quite an interesting 2025 then, won't it? One hopes. So I think that brings us to the end of this week's show. Thank you, Esther, for joining us. And, you know, we wish everybody in the industry the best of luck moving forward with margins and so forth this year. And I'm sure that everybody's very much valued the advice that you've given. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, John, this also brings me to the end of my time on the PR Week podcast as your host. You know, it's been a brilliant 18 months. Thank you so much for having me. I've very much enjoyed being on the podcast with you and Danny. But I think it's now time for me to step down. New Society is kind of moving in a new direction. We're moving into a kind of philanthropic and non-profit business model. So effectively, I'm probably not the best person to be talking about the day-to-day running of profitable PR agencies. And I now need every minute to really focus on tackling the climate crisis. So wish you best with the next iteration of the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, it's so sad to see you go. And it's been absolutely brilliant, you know, since we launched. When was it? May 2022?
Yeah, we still didn't do the drunken one with the rosé.
We still haven't done the drunken. Maybe we'll come back for a special edition.
Yeah.
Drunken podcast is the future.
I'll happily come back. Yeah.
But no, it's been absolutely brilliant. I think, you know, the insights you've brought from your time working in the industry, I think have been absolutely brilliant. Obviously, the contacts as well, helping to get some great guests on, and, you know, your sort of lines of questioning have been, you know, really fantastic quite a lot of the time when, because you've been there and done it, whereas Danny and I sort of looking at it from the outside as journalists, I think it's been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, we're going to miss you, but obviously all the best for New Society and whatever the future brings.
Great. But thank you so much.
No, absolutely. And, you know, before you go, it'd just be good to hear probably what some of your kind of highlights have been over...
There have been so many great shows, actually. I mean, it's just been incredibly enjoyable to talk to so many different people in the industry. I really have enjoyed it. But probably, you know, and thank you to everybody that has joined the show. Probably some standouts. I mean, obviously, it was great to talk to Trevor Morris about, you know, Edelman's interesting decision around Saudi. And, you know, the greats in the industry talking about how to manage agencies in a downturn with Alison Clark and Giles Fraser. Again, with Alex Myers, Dan, you know, Dan Neal and Dean Connolly talking about how to also manage, retention and recruitment and so forth. I found it really refreshing to talk to, Katie DeCosa from CC Group and Nicola Karonka from Missive, who I thought were just really, you know, exciting new female leadership in the industry, which was great. I obviously really valued being able to talk about climate as much as I could. I, you know, really grateful to Zoe from Just Stop Oil joining, Jonathan Porritt, Rupert Reed, and so forth. And also finally to some of the great sort of in-house people that have joined us along the way. You know, we obviously have some great podcast people like Alex Ovo and Jen Jamie from Google. And I'm sure that much of the industry will find that kind of insight really, really great. So yeah, it's been a great journey. And, you know, I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. And, you know, wish you the best with the next few shows.
Thank you. Well, as I say, it's been really, really great having you, and we really wish you all the best. But, great. You know, don't be a stranger. We'll see you soon, hopefully in some capacity, I'm sure.
Thank you. I think that's what they say is, and goodbye for now.
And goodbye for now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.